Hey everybody, Jason here from the Film Club Podcast. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that the audio quality on this week's episode is not the greatest. There were some technical problems we had on our side. Fortunately, those were fixed, so future episodes should remain unaffected. But anyway, thanks for listening. Once again, sorry. I hope you still enjoy the content of the episode itself, and happy Halloween.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 35 of the Film Club Podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Robert.
Hey Anthony.
Guys, good to be back. It's been a few weeks.
It has been.
A few sicknesses.
Yes.
A couple parties.
Well, yeah.
Couple parties.
Two sicknesses and a broken USB mixer.
Oh, which almost made it to a third console.
Yeah, so the audio is not that good this episode. We apologize. Our mixer went out, so we're using the onboard microphone on my iMac here. But, you know, yeah, just had to do it. Show must go on. So we're going to be covering this week,
nothing,
12 Years a Slave by
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen of Shame and Hunger fame. Before we get into that, what's been going on, guys, in your worlds?
Not a fucking thing.
I kind of like this. This is kind of nice.
Weird. Oh, yeah. Like, right?
I feel more comfortable.
But no, the first couple podcasts, we used to do it right there. And then we started doing it over here, and then you kicked us out of the bedroom, so we have to deal with this.
We did it in the bedroom? Wait, that came out wrong.
That's where I was trying to make it go.
Oh, I ruined it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
So, yeah.
I think we got to return to desktop podcasting.
Yeah, we're fine with that?
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
You wanted more.
I wanted more open,
yeah,
more relaxed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. I don't know. The couch cast was obviously the best.
It was nice.
But yeah, anything going on for you?
Freaking! I finally dive into it. We're gonna get into it later.
Yeah, if you guys are watching a live stream, plan on talking video games after the episode's out.
Jason,
Robert, you're welcome to stay if you want to.
It's gonna be very light. I don't think we'll get into it.
I have a lot to talk about, so I'm not sure about that.
Me too. But, so...
You're more actual gaming, me more like gaming
news. Yes. So I've been... I don't know, when I play games, I feel like I'm doing this whole thing, and I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, all these big shot, all this we're supposed to be entertained all the time, and I jumped into indie gaming, so it's been freaking good. Really good. And that's why we're doing a podcast afterwards.
Yeah. So stay tuned for watching the live stream. We'll post it somewhere. I don't know.
Somewhere.
But yeah. What's going on? Halloween?
Halloween was good. Very successful,
yeah.
Halloween.
It was good.
It was probably the best.
It was a good party. Yeah. Finally had a good party. It was popping.
Yeah.
With a bunch
good.
Of people I don't even know. But there was a lot of people
it
in this house.
It was crazy. I thought it was so funny. You had your indie playlist the whole time and everyone's like,
you know? I was like, all the way at the end. That's what I like.
Latino Spanish music, yeah. Dance music, and... Boom! The place exploded. That was awesome.
I always like when the party dies down, because then I can just play whatever I want and I'm drunk and I'm just dancing. I don't care if anybody else is dancing really. So I was happy when we got to that point. The house was cool. I actually didn't want to leave the party. My brother was like, "Hey, we gotta go. You know, we gotta set up." I'm like, "No, not yet."
No, you went ahead and asked. You didn't reluctantly.
I'm like, everybody wants the party. Everybody's here. It's the starting. We're drinking. Hold on for a little
party,
bit.
Man. You broke the party.
As soon as you left for the house, they took over the music.
I played terrible. This.
No, Chris did.
Chris fucking camped out at the computer.
Yeah, he's playing indie music mixed with Lil Wayne and Drake. It was weird. I've heard those mixes before. Can't do that. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. I'll get into later, but I'm ready for October to be over.
Okay.
I love October, but I've had enough of it.
All right.
Next year, don't do a fucking harvest where every day
I didn't do it through the second half, but I'll get into that. Do you guys want to get into the movie? Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, I think we're good.
All right, well, 12 Years a Slave. Movie we saw?
Yep.
Yes.
True story?
Yes. Based on a novel?
Yep. Solomon
Northup.
Northup? But yeah.
Based on a novel, the guy that wrote it went unremorsed, no coverage, and the novel fell into silence for 100 years. It took two university people to find it and hey, I had that book in my house. and they did their whole study, and they made the book popular again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of the film?
Okay, I'll start. It was great. It was freaking fantastic. It's one of those films that just sticks with you. It grabs you, and it doesn't let go. I've heard people describe it as horror, you know, and that's kind of a good, like, example of what it is. It's, yeah, like, history, true to heart, real life, and it's just heart-wrenching. Like, the movie grabs you, doesn't let you go, and it goes on, and it's very painful. And there's some good cinematography in there to keep the ride interesting as well, because it's so damn painful, and some of the lines are... Or some of the keynotes of the movie are well shot, so it makes the pain, like, at least it was cinematically pleasing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the eyes.
Yeah.
Painful, but pleasing. It's an odd film. And it does it throughout the whole.
Yeah. It's a fantastic film. There were parts of it where I felt like I was watching, like, a play, like a mm-hmm. stage play, because mm-hmm. the way they spoke, some of yes. the dialogue, and yeah. I really, really liked that it felt like I was watching a stage performance. That's what I loved about the acting in the film. Mm-hmm. The cinematography is amazing, like Anthony said, a lot of amazing shots. It's a brutal film. A lot of people had problems with that. I read a lot of articles, and especially reviews, from one of my favorite film sites, where they were like, oh, this film just delve too long into these torture scenes or these, you know, and it's just like was showing you too much, and it was like it was just for the sake of it where it just dragged. But Steve McQueen, in defense, he had gotten response from people, and he said, well, this is what really happened.
Yes.
Why do I have to just show you 5 seconds of it or like a minute?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. It was bad. No, I want to show you how long it felt, or like I want you to feel how long it was for someone
right.
to be like going through that. And I love that. I love that he did that, especially the scene where Solomon gets put in the noose, and he's, like, pretty much barely touching his toes to the ground, and he's, like,
yes.
that scene lasts, like, what, 5-6 minutes?
It was painful.
And
then
just,
people start doing their nonchalant
yeah,
stuff,
and
their daily work.
You can hear his throat, you can hear the choking in his throat, and
right.
in his mouth, and the gasping, and it was just, that noise was constant, and it was, like, it just got under your skin, but, like, I love that it did that. One of the best performances, I swear, that I've seen in a long time is the woman who played Patsy.
Patsy
was fucking amazing. Like, seriously, like, this actor is, I guess it's one of her first major film, like, her first acting roles.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like, and I hope she gets recognized for it, because she has such an amazing role, and her lines, like, are just, she delivers it with such emotion that it's just brutal. Like
mm-hmm.
her voice is like brutalized, and you can just hear it come out of her. Like I thought it was amazing. The shots are great. Steve McQueen is a very silent guy. A lot of silent like shots and just a lot of stuff where you take the moments in. And there was a really great shot where Solomon is just kind of staring out for like, it's like 5 minutes. He's just like, look, he's just staring out, and his eyes are filled with like, just sadness and confusion. Like
it was probably
just,
my favorite shot.
Yeah, it is my. Yeah, it was amazing, and you can just see it. Like you could see, like him just like realizing, like or just seeing him like just pondering on everything that he's just been through, and it's ridiculous. Like it just comes out so well. Like you see
mm-hmm.
that, you see like he's so confused, and he can't just believe what's happening to him, and. It's fucking, it's so sad. I literally, like, was on the verge of tears watching him, like, watching just his face. It was, seriously, like, I wanted to cry. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, I enjoyed the film a lot. I liked the, you know, I did like the fact that, you know, they didn't hold back
yeah.
as far as showing how brutal the violence is. I mean, as watching it, and, you know, it is 2 hours, it is over 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not saying anything about the length, but just the fact it's over 2 hours long and, you have to deal with all this. Like, I don't know, after a while, I'm not trying to seem like I come off as a jerk or anything, but
yeah.
I was starting to become desensitized to what was happening to these people, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And, yeah, it was just a natural feeling that kind of came to me, because, you know, you're watching this, then go through this brutal stuff for so long, it just, comes to the point where, like, you just don't feel towards it, I guess.
I think they make the world... They make the world that believable, though. All these characters, like you said, a stage performance.
Yeah.
They're making the world believable. So you're starting to kind of even believe that these characters are walking and dealing with the world they're already in.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is your... You kind of catch up with their performance, their stage performance, that, all right, this is the setup, this is the world they live in, I'm there now, too, I guess.
Yeah.
And desensitized and being a part of their world is almost not expected, because a lot of people walk out, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue, I was going to say something, too, when you said that. In Europe, people are walking out in record numbers. Like, their Italy performances, people were emptying the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the controversy was... Couldn't handle 2 years of it, try 500 years of it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's that brutalness of this film.
Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily, like, I guess I became more desensitized to, like, the really brutal violence that was going on. You know, the stuff that really bugged me was, like, seeing them in the backyard taking baths together all naked. It's just like being treated like animals, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, of course being treated like less than human, but that was the stuff that really... bugged me, not necessarily the really, you know,
the
violent stuff.
Yeah, there's points with the violence that you mentioned, you know, the where you had to whip
Patsy. Yeah.
And, you know, the slave owner realizes that he's holding back, and it's like, you can just feel it, like it's a film. It kind of breaks the illusion, because
mm-hmm.
like, you know he's going to hold back. And then, it breaks the stage show. I thought that scene, like, because he points it out, and it starts happening, and then that's when all the visceral violence starts, right? And then she opens up his back. Does the slave owner crack her back open? Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, with Patsy, like, you first see her, and, like, there's no dialogue there. I was, like, worried, like, oh, I'm worried when she's going to open her mouth. Like, is she going to be a good actress or not? And when she speaks, it's just
amazing.
Yes.
Definitely.
And, I mean, yeah, visually, you know, she just looks amazing. Like,
yeah, I was
what you're getting from her. You're seeing her in the fields and, you know, building these little Barbie dolls made out of corn.
That was a good scene.
Out of straw. But then as soon as she starts speaking, like, I loved her character. She was definitely my favorite part of the film.
Were you worried because of the previous female character that he had come across with was a little bad? Because I didn't really like her performance. It was kind of scary.
No, I didn't.
Which one?
The one who lost your kids.
The mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you guys were talking about, like, the stage play stuff, when it feels like that... Like, yeah, I mean...
When he talks to her on the porch. Yeah.
I felt like they were... As soon as they, like, got into these arguments...
Isn't life but a stage?
Yeah.
Like, they just started speaking in this manner.
Yeah. Will you not let me weep for my children?
And I thought, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This feels so unnatural.
Oh, yeah.
There's another part in the film when that happens. And I'm like, why are they suddenly speaking like this? You know? I mean, they're speaking in a neat way.
Yeah.
But I just, that kind of took me out of it a little bit when I started talking like that.
Great performances throughout, definitely.
I'm a Fassbender lover. I didn't like Fassbender.
You didn't like Fassbender?
No, I thought he was alright. But then again, he's supposed to be like this kind of like...
He definitely...
Sad character.
He was a sad... hated character, and definitely
he's just a pathetic man.
Yeah, and
really
you saw that because exactly, and I felt that, you know, he was horrible, but like not horrible as I hated him, and like I hated that he was in the movie horrible. Like this person is terrible, and you know he treats people like, especially Patsy, is horrifically.
Yeah,
because he's like a fucking psychopath
What do you guys think of the cameo? I mean, I wouldn't call them cameos, but just it kind of
they do feel
it
like
took
cameos.
Me out of the experience when, like, you know, more famous actors. I mean, of course, Brad Pitt, that's the main one. That's really going to take you out.
Yeah, they kind of
really did
cameo.
Free all the slaves.
Yeah. But Giamatti,
really did.
Giamatti did
that's
a little
history.
Bit, but Giamatti did, you know, he did a really good.
Giamatti
was
so cold.
He
was so good.
It was horrible.
Yeah, his cold acting was.
That was
top.
Another one.
I feel like he always plays that character, just like. N-word, please! Get in the cart, you know? Don't make this difficult, N-word, you know? It's the character he always plays.
Yeah.
I liked the wife, Fassbender's wife. She's on American Horror Story right now. Forgot her name. The actress. She was really good, too.
What else was she in?
She's in a bunch of stuff. She's on TV and films. I know she's in American Horror Story right now, the current season.
Okay.
But, yeah, how horribly, like, she treats Patsy, too. Oh, I just...
Which
so,
is all their tense relationship.
Yeah,
was so
I think that she was such, so jealous of, like, the attention Patsy was getting from
yes.
Fassbender's character, and she threw that bottle at her. What was it? I don't know what she threw. Yeah, it was a bottle,
was
right?
Fucked up.
It was just horrific. And then, like, when she comes back after that, and she's got, like, the stitch or the cut in her face.
Yeah.
Then she goes back and just, like, peels it open. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's, like, the worst. And
oh, yeah.
Poor Patsy. And, like, oh, my God, it's... What? Yeah, but...
You want to hear some slave owner wives' tales?
What?
The lady that was a slave during that era, 14, 15, 16, there was a big booty African dancer slave, and that's her tag thing. And they toured her across Europe to do big booty dances, African dances. She was a slave, and she had to tour. And that was her thing, and white people would just gather and watch her, you know, like, look at the African with their big ass. And that's where the big European booty arches come from. You know, in like the parkways, those classic umbrellas, and the girls have the big butts, the white girls with the big butts.
Uh-huh.
That's where it comes from.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that shit crazy?
Cray cray.
Yeah. So the jealousy of like slave owners is real for women. Mm-hmm. They want that ass, bro.
Let's talk about the score, because the score, I felt was kind of... It was a good score.
No.
I don't remember.
No.
Zimmer did it.
Yeah, it was a good score.
I thought it was too bombastic.
No,
for sure.
It was a great score, but at times it was, like, overused. It just kept being replayed over and over. But, you know, that's actually a reprise that he did of a score he did for The Thin Red Line. And
Yeah.
Mm. It is. He
I
just,
mean,
he
it sounds a lot... I was getting a lot of Inception vibe at
it was, right? Yeah.
Well,
no, it's... It's from The Thin Red Line, and then he kind of reworked it a little bit for Steve McQueen's film movie, and yeah.
I don't know. For me, like, the perspective of Solomon. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a good story, but obviously, naturally, I felt much worse for the people who, you know, have that this is the life that they've known.
Well,
they've only known.
I mean, that's... Are you talking referring to his story? Like, his story as a survivor, or...?
No, you know, obviously, I felt... more pity or felt worse for the people who, you know, that's the life they've known. They've been slaves their entire life.
I mean, yeah, this is a good story.
Yeah.
This is a good story during slavery era. Imagine all the people that fell on the way to his story of success.
Yeah.
They don't get a tale. They don't get to write a book.
They never got the chance to do that.
Yeah, so in a way, like, I would
never...
I guess I would prefer a movie done this way, but from a perspective of someone, you know, that's all they've known. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, this makes it a more—it's a more interesting tale, I guess.
It is.
I mean,
but, you know, as a scholar and all that stuff, they love credibility and the fact that he was an educated man. People eat that up because he's an educated black man that wrote a slavery story of his surviving. There's no way they would take credibility of someone's story narrated by mouth, you know?
Yeah.
So your story probably wouldn't get printed.
You know, I mean, I do like how eventually, you know, he became kind of an activist towards that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's awesome. Yeah.
But it's kind of sad at the same time. The system that put him back into slavery is the same system he's trying to fight. And it's like, why do you want their acceptance? You know, I know you have to try, but holy shit, all those years of fighting and to, like, you know, not get your case acknowledged at all and not to get it, it was kind of difficult, especially... The whole fact that, you know, he thought the world was going to listen, you know, wait for my papers, you know.
Yeah.
It's rough. Wicked world, man. At least someone recorded it. Like I said, they wouldn't take credibility of vocalized stories, you know. They love to piss on that kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The scenery, the trees and the rivers and the swamps and
that swamp scene was beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. It's amazing. It was really great. The way like the lights went through, like the what do you call those trees? Weeping willows. Yeah.
They might not even have been weeping willows.
I was thinking sawgrass for some reason.
No, it's just it's weeping willows. It's just like the name is just so perfect.
It looks like it. They look like weeping willows, but they're like swamp trees too.
Yeah,
it was good, man. That one scene where they run into the tribe, those natives, and they feed them. They make a barbecue.
Oh yeah, I thought of you as soon as like I saw them.
I thought they were gonna freaking like, I don't know, slave run, I guess, or it's that whole like freedom versus not freedom. And I don't think those Indians would be that free either. You know, that's it's not their. You know, it's probably.
You think in a way it was kind of like
it's two freedoms. Like, what is freedom? Like, when your people are being literally, you know, massacred, are you more free than a slave when you're running, trying to save your way of life compared to a slave who's already had their life taken? And it was a stark contrast, two worlds. And they felt bad for them, made them barbecue.
No, I definitely saw that. Like, I felt like when, they made in the barbecue and they were watching him dance, I felt that was like we're both kind of like in the same page, you know, we both have been through what you're going, like, you know, we've been through it too, people have taken our land, now people are taking your lives, you know, and it's sort of like a nice
but I think it's a very stark contrast, but it is in the same boat.
Yeah, kind of, definitely.
American
like,
history boat.
Well, you know, the Americans fucked our lives up, you know, kind of connection. Yeah.
But that was an odd scene, man.
It was. It definitely was. I was going to ask you, too.
Yeah, it was
you thought of that.
Yeah. We liked it. Me and my brother seen it.
That's cool. Yeah. And without getting into details, I really like the moment where he kind of, like, accepts, like, that he's finally accepts the fact that he's one of them, you know? The part where
singing. Oh, it was so sad.
Ouch.
Yeah, he's like, in a way, it was kind of him giving up, like, a little bit, and it was,
it was sad.
It was really horrible. Yeah, you wanted to cry, too. I'm saying, man, there's so many moments where you're like, this guy just...
It's okay, you can say you cried, Rob.
I almost cried.
I cried during, you know,
the shot.
The climax. When, you know...
Yeah, that scene was...
Well, it's...
The return, I'll just say that.
Oh, the apology is really sad. It was so sad. Like, oh, my God.
That was good. Oh, I'm so horrible lady sitting behind me during my entire, the whole experience.
No, thank you. Can we please talk about the fact that elderly people who attend the movie theaters now have become just as bad as, like, kids?
Oh, no, it wasn't an old lady.
Go ahead. One after
It was an African-American woman. But, no, she was, like, if you guys are around my mom enough, you know she makes, like, these noises. She makes, like,
Hello. But it was that kind of movie, though.
No, it was.
Those noises?
But the entire movie, she was doing it. There was one part where she's like, oh, shit.
That's too much.
In the beginning, she did that, but she apologized for that. But the entire film, anytime something would happen, she would just go.
No, there was an old man sitting next to me. He was chewing on popcorn seeds from the bottom of the bag. And then you could hear the crunching. He did it every, like, 5 minutes, and it was getting on my nerves, and then he kept belching, but he belched in his mouth, but you still heard it, because it was so fucking loud. I'm like, I just kept looking over to him, like, why are you fucking serious right now? Like,
yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Popcorn in his fucking movie, too. It's, like, a horrific movie. Let me go ahead and watch
it. Definitely warrant it. I'm sure it was, you know, horrible, like, bad, you know, to go see that movie, experience that film, but... That was ridiculous.
You saw the Landmark, right?
Landmark.
Did you have a good experience?
Yeah.
I love that theater.
I saw the Landmark.
So. Good shit.
Yeah. Anything else? Something to film?
I'm sure we can talk a lot more, but like I said,
I don't want to get too much into
it. Oh, yeah. I heard you already kind of reeking on spoilers, okay?
Other than the fact that Stephen Queen is seriously becoming one of my favorite directors right now, at this moment. I mean, if you guys you've seen Shame, I mean, it's amazing. And
I still got to see Hunger.
He's definitely someone you gotta be on the lookout for, because, I mean, I can't wait to see what he does next. Great shots, great editing, great actors, the acting was amazing. I don't know. Are we rating this or no?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 5. Definitely. It's one of my favorites of the year. One of them.
Yeah. I was kind of preempting my review at your party, and I was saying, my brother says it's the best movie he's ever seen, like, period, you know, like that, and, like, he's like, oh, I can't agree with my brother, can't say it's the best, but it kind of is, man, it really is, like, one of the better movies I've ever seen, and 5 for 5, and it's just a great film, it's perfect, it's so torturing and real, and it's that realism about our history that gets so bombarded by lies and sugarcoating, and, you know, like, everything's whitewashed, and this is truth. And that's why it's a powerful film. And it's painful. So it's a fantastic film.
Okay.
5 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like I said, I like the fact that it didn't hold back. As it, you know, it shouldn't. It shouldn't, you know, show what these lives were like for these people during that time. You know, I couldn't help but be desensitized to it. Wish I wasn't, but, you know, dealing with 2 hours of so much torture, it was hard not to be. But
you know, that could be a natural body.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a great film. Give it a 4.5 out of 5. All right, moving on to what we watched.
That's your time.
Well, that's going to be Jason's.
It was.
Do you guys have anything or no?
I saw Bad Grandpa. Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, say that. You can talk about that.
No, there's nothing really to say about it.
Was
it
funny?
Right. It was okay.
Yeah? So was it, did it seem like natural or did it seem like staged?
Well, I mean, it's mixed of staged pranks. Like, the pranks, like, that are done to the people, are, like, the people are real, they're not actors.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the storyline is, like, fake.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's about this grandpa his wife dies, and then his daughter is, like, a meth head who's going to jail, so someone's got to take his grandson to his father.
Uh-huh.
So he's driving across the country with his grandson to return to his father.
Okay.
But along the way, they bond, or he does crazy shit, and the kid does crazy shit. You know, and that's the stuff that's real. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was because, like, I was talking, I went to go see Maria. Like, I don't know if it was because there was a kid involved, but just the pranks were really, they just felt like we kind of tame. They weren't really that hilarious. Like,
yeah.
I mean, don't go in there comparing it to Jackass, because you're going to be extremely disappointed.
That's how they're selling it, though, isn't it?
No, yeah, no, that's how they're selling it, but
super,
yeah, it's not as crazy as Jackass. It's not as, hilarious as Jackass. I mean, I thought the movies were hilarious. Even I'm aware how stupid those movies are.
But they're fantastic.
Yeah, but they're hilarious, yeah.
Oh, this is the most I laugh ever.
Yeah, they're
like,
really good.
One prank where he goes to, like, a strip club, like, everything you see, all the fun crazy shit is in the trailers and commercials. It really is. Like, it's ridiculous how much of the movie is given away.
Yeah.
How much of, like, the really amazing stuff, the pranks, are given away, so when you see it, it's not funny anymore. So, yeah, it was kind of disappointing. It definitely was. I'm glad I saw the matinee show. But, yeah. Wish I had seen The Counselor instead. That's all I'm going to say. But, yeah.
I saw Carrie.
Oh, nice.
The remake. Opportunity arose, and I'm like, might as well. I'm like 5 minutes from the movie theater. Might as well go. It was all right. It kind of followed. Obviously, it followed the original, but it took some. It delved a little bit off the path. Like, there's in the. I mean, without spoiling it, in the original, there's certain characters where I guess their motivations are kind of ambiguous. You kind of think they're coming from a good place, but you're not really sure. And in the remake, they kind of spell it out for you. Because obviously, like in the remake, it seems like they're trying to say more with the whole bullying aspect of it, I guess. Which is cool. It's fine. It's a good message to send, I guess.
Right. I mean, these times where
this generation.
It's all borderline next to lawsuits and shit.
Yeah. But, like,
fuck lawsuits, death.
I don't like Chloe that much. I'm sure I've let this be known before.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Chloe.
No, neither am I.
I feel like she overacts
a lot.
She forces her stuff,
yeah. So, like, in this, you know, when she has to act weird, it just comes off as really unnatural because you could tell she's trying to be weird.
Mm.
And obviously, this is a time, unlike the original, where they could actually put ugly women in movies. They don't do that anymore. So, I don't know. She has to act weird. Sissy Spacek doesn't have to act weird.
She already seems kind of weird.
She's
so quirky
exactly.
that everyone loves her.
I mean,
like, the quirkier you get, people are going to love you even more.
But once Chloe, like, starts to, like, coming to her own, kind of opens up her shell.
Yeah.
Like, it seems more natural for Chloe as an actress playing Carrie. But obviously, it's not going to be nearly as good as Sissy. And then the climax. I mainly went to the movie hoping that the climax would be good.
Yeah.
I feel like the original was a little disappointing. And this one, kind of the same thing. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But they hold back even more. Like, the original is total destruction.
Yeah,
people who had good intentions for her
they get it, just like the people who didn't have good intentions for her. In this one, they kind of hold back. And those people, I won't say what characters, but those people don't get it. So that was disappointing that they held back on that. I thought that was more like powerful, the fact that, these people had good intentions, but her rage got the best of her, and this is what happened for it. But I don't know. It was still all right. It was,
My brother took his teenage daughter to it. He said the best thing is that it was a short film. They could have made it into a super long movie.
It's
this day and age.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I'm glad
it really is.
No more bloated films.
What was that
fast
film? Oh, just the fucking last movie we saw, Gravity.
Yeah.
And that could have went on for 3 hours.
Tell the story and that's it.
That movie could have went on forever.
You guys have anything else?
Yeah, I just figured I was going to talk about it. I saw a documentary on HBO Monday called Seduce and Abandon. It's with Alec Baldwin and this director, I forgot his name. He directed the Tyson documentary.
fucking hate that movie.
And then he directed a bunch of other movies, but the documentary is about like him and Alec Baldwin. They go to Cannes to try to pitch this movie. The movie's sort of like Last Tango in Paris, but set in Iraq in modern times. It's kind of I think they were kind of serious about the movie, but again, it was more about how when they go to Cannes and they try to sell the movie, see how much they can get for it, and pretty much the movie is about how the festival, how Cannes works, the festival celebrates like really great independent films or artistic films, but in the end, it's just all about business and money too. Because behind the scenes, it's just these companies that are in the background, you know, saying, "Oh, like if you cast this person, I'll give you $20 million for it." The point is, like, if Alec Baldwin was starring in this movie with Neve Campbell, how much would you give us? They would always get like, "Oh, you'd probably get like $2 or $5 million." Like, "Oh, but we want $25 million." Like, "No, not if you cast this person or that person."
Neve Campbell.
I think the idea was it's a commentary on how the business of filmmaking is and how it's just kind of horrific it is, how the fact that, you know, it really, like, no matter how hard you try to sell, like, the fact that Cannes celebrates film, and is like, you know, it's all about that, it's not about the money, it's not true, because in the behind the scenes, you see these little, like, rooms with a bunch of different studios, like, trying to buy pitches, or, you know, buy films, or, you see little, like, booths of people from countries saying, "Hey, come film here, you get tax cuts," or whatever, you know? And it's really sad. It's kind of sad in a way, you know, because not even, like, great festivals like that you can celebrate. You know, there's interviews with, like, great directors like Scorsese and Polanski and all that stuff. And so it's actually a really good film. It's really insightful. It's a film that you like to, like, it's a really interesting film to watch and hear everybody discuss the business of film. And then, you know, afterwards, I wish I had watched it with somebody because it's a great film to discuss about afterwards, too.
I was actually thinking about that today because I was reading the story about, like, video games. I mean, bring us into video games, but it was about video games and how all these different... No, it was about horror games, but it was mainly about how so many of these people who were part of big studios, now they're just making their own little small studios, you know, and they're little small man teams, and their vision won't be affected, you know, and or they could go to Kickstarter. They have these avenues to get these.
Oh, is that you talking about that
games
one that was
made
on Netflix?
I'm talking about the movie. I'm not talking about the movie in particular. I'm just talking about.
Oh, okay.
I feel like, you know, the video game drama, like, people could do that. People could, you know, make these small films. And I was thinking, man, it would be cool if I could, you know, just get a few friends together and create something. But what would I want to create? I would want to create a movie. But it's nowhere near the same thing.
There was only one programmer for The Wolf Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
One fucking programmer.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell, man? What does that say about my programming abilities?
I just think it's so cool. You know, the video games, they could do this. They could have these small visions, and then they could just release it however online.
Yeah.
And it'll make them a lot of money. Like, and I feel like in the movie industry, you can't do that.
It's hard.
So it feels like it's even more flooded, which is ridiculous, but it's even more flooded than the video game industry is. And it's so much hard to be successful at doing these small things, you know?
No, yeah. And going back to the documentary, Scorsese said like something like, it's hard. Like we all are going to have to find a way to work around these obstacles, work around it, like the companies, work around it. Kickstarter is a good idea, but again, you're not going to get a lot of people's attention sometimes, you know. It's really hard, you know.
Being rich is the only solution. Excellent segue. I've seen Oliver Stone's series, The Untold History of the United States. And he plugged it on Bill Maher a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Is it a new film or older film?
It's probably a couple of years, but like he was talking like...
It's on Netflix, right? I think
it might be. And he was talking like it just came out. Like he was giving Bill Maher like, this is the DVD collection, you know? Like it just came out. It's not the most recent thing in the world. But he was plugging it. Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States. It's last year. Not bad. So, I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, right? The way they were talking about it, like, yeah, this is going to be so good. It's really, really dry. It's all the fucking facts, which is fine, but it's, you know, like, it's almost as ridiculous as how detailed the facts are. Like, in a Plainsman talk, it's literally like, Hitler had eggs that morning. You know, it's that fucking detailed. Like, every little table talk, every little side deal is detailed, and it's... It's history to a nauseam. I only watched one portion of the documentary, which is like an 8-parter or a 6-parter.
Jeez.
I'm sure it's excellent, but it's only if you're really in it for the really detailed facts. So here and there, it's probably it's shot really well, but very detailed. So take it with a grain of salt if you guys want to watch that documentary.
Okay. I probably won't.
Take it with a lot of coffee. Anything. And a pen and paper. And your PhD dissertation.
Do you have anything else?
Did I talk about Grave Encounters on the last podcast?
No.
I saw Grave Encounters a couple weeks ago.
Big fan.
I was kind of disappointed.
It's recent?
No, it's a couple years ago.
It's a found footage film, which, by the way, I still would like to know how the fuck they found that footage.
That's always a problem, especially the VHS movies. It's like, yeah. Someone found this, they converted them onto
VHS tapes. And it's just done.
They actually have an explanation for it in the second
part. Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. I mean, it's a good... It has its moments, but I felt like it was just... It was too much that you just weren't... scared anymore. You weren't really like, you know, you weren't feeling it, and I felt the beginning with the producer was so messy. You should have just started the movie right at the filming, you know, like that. But yeah, it was okay. I mean, yeah. I think if you're a horror fan, definitely watch it. But I mean,
yeah, I was a big fan of it. I don't know. I just
the maze concept and the darkness, like the fact that, you know, days would go by but it was still dark, and
yeah.
it lost me there. Like,
I really enjoyed that scene.
I feel like, you know, like, oh, they got teleported to another dimension. Like, you know, it wasn't creepy because it took a little of the realism out of it for me, and I was just like, because again, found footage films have that. What makes them scary is they had that sense of realism, you know. And the things that scare you are very subtle. Like I told you, what scared me more in the movie was the scenes that they were just walking on the highway and they would pan the camera into each room. That scared me shitless. You didn't see anything, but that was scary, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like about found footage movies, like that are good, because they build that tension, and it's kind of, when you see something, it's subtle, but it scares the shit out of you. And this one was not subtle. It was all in your face. And
I don't know, for me it just genuinely scared me. I don't know. I enjoyed the actors. Like, I thought the acting was good for what it is, you know?
No, yeah, the, I get for what it is.
For what it was. I was, like, I just went in, this random film, and I enjoyed it. A couple years ago. Part 2 is terrible. Let's see part 2. You have anything else?
Yeah, Adventure Time.
I love that show.
It took me forever. Right, really? I've been so resilient, you know, like just don't want to be into this Adventure Time stuff. And I finally did, and I'm like 2.5, season 2.5.
There was a great episode I saw where they helped somebody like on a mission to do something. I took the gap, but towards the end, you know, they try to help her this thing. In the end, she ends up blowing up and dying, and then that's how the episode ends. Then they're just like kind of just staring at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, and then that's how the episode ends.
It's
so demented.
Yeah. Did you see the one episode where Jake's girlfriend has to entertain his girlfriend's parents?
No, I've not seen
it. So they're unicorns, right? The rhinocorns, or whatever, rhinocorns. And he's entertaining them, and he has to pretend to be like their culture. So he's pretending to be like them, and like it doesn't work out. And at the end, like, oh, you're a dog. We love dogs. You know, the dogs and rhinocorns fought in a war. the dog won't you over, Unicorn War. And by the end of it, they love it. Like, it's a dog. A dog saved my life during the war. You should have known that, you know, like, you didn't. And to fit in, they eat humans. So they start eating human at the end of the episode.
It's so
That's how the episode ends. And Finn takes a bite and he's like, eh, not bad. He doesn't say anything, but he's like, eh.
I love Lopi Space Princess. Is that what
she's great.
She's awesome. Yeah. I fucking love her, yeah.
Like, you guys are turning into Rudy.
It's a great show. It really is.
Oh, no, I know it is.
it's pretty crazy.
By the way, remember those tights? What do you call them? Tights that we saw?
Yeah,
but Hot Topic. That's what they saw.
What? Someone was wearing, like, Adventure Time spandex.
Yeah, Adventure Time leggings.
At Berlin one night. Some guy.
Gross.
They looked awesome.
Yeah. Hot Topic is vegan.
That makes sense.
Sounds like Berlin.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Like Berlin.
It's awesome.
Awesome. You have anything else?
No. I don't think so.
So what I'm going to do here, they have a long list. Let's put 3 minutes on the clock.
Oh, God.
Three minutes on the clock. Let's do a quick fire.
I got this.
Quick fire. Quick fire section.
You got it? I got it.
Oh, you're doing three minutes?
I got it.
All right, go.
Is it three?
I'm giving you 1.5.
Three is enough. I think it's enough. All right. I watch. No, not yet. I watched a bunch of horror films for Horror Fest audience people. I'm going to go down this list real fast. I'll preface this with this Horror Fest is why I want October to be over with. I will never do a Horror Fest again. Just because, like, it's just stressful. And I just don't need to apply that stress into my life.
Come up every night.
To be honest, I only made it about halfway through. Mm-hmm. I was going to, you know, binge watch in the last few nights, but I just didn't want to. Like,
the list was created by you.
I was tired. Yeah. But, I mean, it was a list, but then I would just watch whatever the hell I wanted to watch instead of going by the list.
Okay.
So. All right, so 3 minutes on the clock?
Yep.
All right, so Halloween Tree, it's an animated film recommended by, what's her face? Crusader.
Time. Valuable time.
I thought it was alright. The animated film, I probably had to grow up with it. Didn't really like it. Did have some really, like, tragic stuff about a little boy who dies. Whatever. Sister is Brian De Palma. Decent film. About girls kind of schizophrenic.
Schizophrenic.
Brian De Palma, it's alright.
Love me so.
It was okay. Then we got Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall, I thought it was going to be really good.
I remember that movie.
No, I thought it was going to be really good because, like, when I heard the premise, kids stuck overnight in a shopping mall with robots who were trying to kill them. So it's kind of part circuit, part RoboCop. But it's not kids. It's, like, fucking teenagers who are really, like, in their 30s, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a terrible film. The robots are terrible.
The thing I remember the most about that movie is the security guard eating the donuts in it. And then they like...
Yeah.
And then Alfred Hitchcock's Frenzy. It's okay. I don't like color, Alfred Hitchcock. I just don't like color.
Old movies.
Old color.
Technicolor movies.
Yeah. But it was a decent film about a guy who's... It's kind of a case of mistaken identity. They think he killed his ex-wife, but it's really another guy. It was kind of thrilling. There is a really cool scene on the highway of the guy who's trying to retrieve something that he lost in one of the bodies of the woman that he murdered. That was cool. But other than that, it was okay. Altered States, which is probably why I didn't like the Horror Fest, because obviously I don't like any of these movies. Altered States, kind of cool. Makes me want to go into, like, a sensory deprivation chamber. It's about this guy who's addicted to that, William Hurt, I believe his name is.
Okay.
There's a really cool part where he actually becomes an animal, becomes, like, a monkey, which is what we formerly were. And he goes to the fucking zoo and starts, like, eating, like, well, he starts, like, he eats one of the zoo animals, but in the way he catches one of these deers is he throws a rock at their head, and they have a shot of the rock hitting a deer in the head. It's hilarious. and then he eats it. But that was probably my most enjoyable out of the list. Sleepaway Camp.
Nice.
I never really heard anybody's praise this movie, but it's just a terrible film. There's a bunch of, like the people who run the camp seem like a bunch of, like, perverts. It's so weird.
It's like Meatballs with horror.
It's so weird, but the ending is really cool.
Yeah, the ending is a good...
The ending has this one shot, and I can see how that shot is iconic. American Mary, Netflix, about a woman who wants to be a surgeon, but she also needs to make money because she's going to college. She eventually ends up doing, like, freak surgeries on people, whatever. Friday the 13th, Part 4, one of Carrie Feldman. Wasn't very good. That was actually pretty terrible. I was hoping it would be good, but it wasn't. Horrible ending in which they hint that Corey Feldman's going to become the next Jason because it was supposed to be the final chapter. Cannibal Holocaust was supposed to be really gross. It was kind of gross. I had to sit through the tortoise scene again, seeing a real tortoise get murdered. I didn't appreciate that. Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter. It's pretty good. It's in a church. It's really moody, but it's really one note. And whatever. Prince of Darkness.
Wow, you did it in 3 minutes.
I think I got better towards the second half. But yeah, I mean, Prince of Darkness was alright. If you guys haven't seen it, it's a John Carpenter film. The score's really good, but it's more low budget.
Mm.
It's about two scientists. Like, there's some type of, like, I know I'm going over here, but there's, like, a group of scientists who are asked to go to this church because there's something that they found that the church has been hiding for a very long time. So it's like, the Prince of Darkness is going to escape. And they're just at this church, and weird shit's happening. People are getting taken over who are outside the church.
Mm.
It's all right.
Yeah,
it becomes kind of boring. And
that reminds me of, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 with no jokes.
Oh, I didn't write the last one. I saw, like, The Fog again.
Torture,
I've seen The Fog before.
I sympathize with
like
your list, bro.
I know.
This is what I'm never doing a hard list.
Well, no, I like John Carpenter again, so I'm glad I finally got to see Prince of Darkness. And I've seen The Fog before.
You should
do,
like, a horror fest, but you should do something like the top, like, the highest reviewed horror films of, like, from, like, last year, October, to this year, October.
Yeah.
And just watch those, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking of just doing a list and just making it, like, three or four films a week. Just making it a lot easier on me.
That way you won't hate on it. Because, like, it seems like you really disappointed a lot of the
I don't appreciate the heavy load, you know what I mean?
That was a joke. It was, like,
I meant innuendo.
That was kind of gross.
I mean, I
ignored it on purpose.
I know, we all
did. I'm trying to save
you. We ignored it.
Both. I'm just trying to save you.
All right, so anything else you guys got here tonight?
Man, I want to watch more stuff, though. I want to see The Counselor. I want to see Blue is the Warmest Color comes out Friday at Landmark. I don't know if you guys want to, like, talk
about it. I'm interested in that. I'm not interested in The Counselor, to be honest with you.
Well, it's not getting great reviews, but,
yeah.
I mean, it's written by Cormac McCarthy, so I want to see it.
That's probably the only reason.
Yeah, it's the only reason why I want to watch it. What else is coming out? I don't know, just, I want to watch more stuff, for sure.
I got nothing.
Alright. Guys, thanks for listening. Sorry about the shitty quality.
Sorry for staring at me mostly throughout the whole podcast if you're watching the live stream.
I really enjoyed that.
Good time for beanie wearing.
All right. See you guys. Take care.
Later.